all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zips, sips. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Okay, I am alive, despite all the best efforts of Hurricane Francis. I am, of course, Stank Dog. And you are listening to episode 61 of Binary Revolution Radio. This is coming to you Tuesday, September 7th, 2004. And, I'm going to talk a little bit about my hurricane experiences. I actually just plugged back into the grid here about a few minutes ago, but, we'll go into a little bit of that later. But before we do, I want to take care of some housekeeping. Some stuff that's been going on. It's not exactly a secret, but I haven't really addressed it yet. I wanted to wait till the timing is right and I talk to everybody involved. And that is to kind of explain and go into a little detail about some roster changes that we've been going through lately at DDP. As some of the regular listeners and visitors to the site realize, we had a couple people who have decided to unplug from the whole hacking scene altogether. And you know what? It's something that we're very happy about and we very much support, because this is what these people want to do. And specifically, I'm talking about Dual Parallel and Bland Inquisitor, two guys that have been in this for a long time, have been in DDP for a long time, you know, have really done a lot for the community and for the scene. But we've always said on the show, and we're very sincere when we say this, that we completely understand that real life always takes precedence over some online life or some online community. You know what? Your real family and real life things that you have to get done always take priority over a cyber life. So I think, you know, we've gotten that point across over the years and people realize that. And we mean that not only for us but for the listeners as well. Nothing ever comes above family and well-being and your pursuit of happiness and things like that. So the simple fact that people are unplugging, which is the term we like to use a lot, doesn't really change anything about the way those people are or their mindsets. You know, once a hacker, always a hacker. It's a mindset. It's something that you just have in you. I think Voodoo Hal is someone who said it the best, and I agree with it completely when he says that people... that you're just born a hacker. It's just a way of life, a way of thinking, and it's just something that's part of you, and it's something that's in you to question things and be curious and learn about things. So just because they may be unplugging from the community or kind of stepping back from all that entails being Dual Parallel or being Bland Inquisitor, you know, being out public and known like that, doesn't mean that anybody's changed or anything's different. Just means that priorities have changed, you know, and you know what, sometimes that happens, and it's a very, very good thing that these guys are doing, and I wish them the best of success. We still talk. They've not completely, there's no emergencies, there's no rumors, don't spread anything about nobody's busted, nobody's had issues or problems. It's just one of those things where it comes time when you say, you know what, there are more important things that I need to focus on right now. And you kind of just have to step back and reprioritize and take care of those things. So there are those two people I mentioned, Bland Inquisitor and Dual Parallel, have officially unplugged from the community in general, kind of stepping back out of DDP at the same time. The whole work, they're just kind of off the grid. We don't, you know, we're going to just kind of give them their privacy and let them live their lives. And if and when it comes time for them to plug back in, of course, we'll be there for them. But until then, we wish them the best of luck. Now, there may also, I should also precede this by saying that there may be some other roster changes coming up soon in DDP. So we'll address those when the time comes. But this is all part of the cycle of things. I don't want to get into a big Disney circle of life, Lion King kind of thing. But, you know, Duhl even said it himself, the only thing that is constant is change. Somebody famous once said that, and it's very, very true. The only thing that is constant is change. And change is good. Change is always a good thing. And we are changing, DDP is growing and evolving. So, on that subject, we'll kind of transition here, that just because we have a couple people that are leaving doesn't mean that DDP is falling apart. It doesn't mean that the scene is falling apart, the community's having problems. Just a couple people who are decided to reprioritize things. DDP also is going to change along with the community, along with everything else. It's one thing that hackers do. We adapt. We're survivalists. We get around. We get through things. And at the same time, as a couple of members are pulling out, we're going to be introducing some new members in the coming days. And one of these new members is going to be co-hosting with me tonight. He's been silent on the line all this time. And frankly, I've already kind of let it slip in the forums in a flame or in a defending our position on something else. I accidentally let this slip. But I am very proud to officially... See, that was unofficial. This, we are officially announcing that our newest member of DDP is the infamous Lucky 225. Lucky, welcome to the show, and welcome to DDP, my dog.
Infamous.
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 The infamous, the super famous. How's that?
What are you trying to entail by calling me infamous?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, somebody gave you a thumbs up in the forums. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
You got people backing you up, man. You got people on your side. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You're like the controversial member of DDP. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm the controversial member, apparently.
You're our controversial member, yeah. You're the one that, yeah.
DDP is not falling apart because dual parallel and Bland left. DDP's falling apart because I joined.
No, not at all. Not even as a joke. That's not the case at all. Yeah, we had a nice conference call with everybody. You know, we get together and we communicate very well in DDP, and we all had some talking and some meetings about this recently. So we all know why, and we're all on the same page, and we absolutely support their decisions. And you know what? We're there for them if they need us, or if they want us. You know, if they want to come back, we'll do whatever we can for them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Now, if you'd stop pushing buttons on the phone.
I didn't push buttons. I was sitting there listening to you talk, and all of a sudden I hear a touch tone. I'm like, well, that was professional there, Stink.
Well, I'm gonna. It wasn't for me. It certainly wasn't for me. But I'm gonna chalk it up to Hurricane Francis still wreaking havoc on the phone systems.
Yeah, man, I tried calling you, and your phone just keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. And
yeah.
Like, dude, turn your ringers on, man.
The ringers are on. There's just something strange going. The power is... Well, we'll get into that later. Before we do that, let's jump into some email here, and here's... Let's get the theme music going here.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't exactly the theme music I was hoping for, but yeah, yours works well, too. Our first email here, let me also pause a second and say, yes, I have been unplugged myself because of the hurricane. So luckily, I do try to be preemptive on the show notes. I got a good jump on these before the hurricane hit, so I've got some emails from before that. If you sent me an email recently, I probably have not gotten it yet. But a couple that I did get here that were really good, I'm going to start with, and the first one is from Dark Fiber, who says, among some other things, but he says, "Hi, Stank Dog. Been listening for a few weeks since I heard your show on Rant Radio, now going through the archive shows. Looking forward to hearing what hack you came up with for your KVM switch. After listening to your show, I broke down and installed SUSE Linux on one of my boxes, and when I switched to it with my Belkin Soho KVM switch, the cursor freaks on the Linux box," which is exactly what I was describing on a previous show. "Already had problems switching between Windows boxes with the Belkin KVM, with loose scroll and programmed buttons on my Logitech MX700 mouse, but the basic mouse movements and left and right clicks worked fine. Emailed Belkin and they said to use an MS mouse, but I like my Logitech wireless mouse." Okay, Well, unfortunately, I have not, that's supposed to say, I have not had time to test out the KVM changes yet. A couple people offered me some suggestions, and I just haven't, between boarding up for hurricanes and stuff like that, I have not had a try, but I will definitely, a couple people offered suggestions, and a couple people emailed saying they wanted to hear what the solution was, because other people are having this problem, obviously yourself included. I will definitely update everybody. I'll come on the show and talk about it when I do get it working and exactly what the problem was. A couple other people, like I said, mentioned it. The thing that I really didn't like out of this email was the fact that when you called Belkin, who makes the box, their answer was, try a Microsoft mouse. Now, I don't like that at all. I mean, come on. The thing should work with any mouse. I mean, they're making a piece of hardware that should be universal. To tie it down and say it only works with Microsoft, they're not saying that it only works. They're probably just being a cop-out, lazy excuse of, oh, try this, try a Microsoft mouse because they're so common. But that should never, ever be an answer. That's not cool at all. So,
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you buy Belkin.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, I don't know. Let's see if I can get mine working before I badmouth them. I'm not going to go that far yet. Let's see if I can get it working. But yeah, so far...
The routers were giving people adware. We're like, on every 10th website you went to, it would go to, like, Belkin.com.
Really? I did not hear that one.
You didn't see that, man?
And
plus, all their shit is overpriced, man. If you go to and you look at the cost, the real cost of what you're buying, it's just sad.
Well, yeah, I got, the only reason I did get this is because it was Logan 5 had found a coupon and you get 50% off when you order Belkin.com, when you order online. So for half price, then yeah, it made it a decent buy.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only reason that I even went with it. I agree with you on that. Anything in Compusa's overpriced. I wouldn't even touch anything. I can't stand that store, but that's a rant for another. I've had that rant before. I'm not going to go back into that again.
You know what? Not all of their stuff is overpriced, and they're a lot better than a Best Buy.
Oh, please. Why are you pushing me towards this? Are you trying to get me mad?
I'm not. I won't even go any further with
it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know what? We will have an official rant on Best Buy. Those... Yeah, okay. I'm gonna have a little self restraint here. I'm gonna pull back. Stick to this email. Now, yes, first of all, that was their little cop out answer of Microsoft mouse. Well, I have a Microsoft mouse. I have the IntelliMouse Explorer. And say what you want about Microsoft, but this Explorer mouse rocks. The IntelliMouse Explorer laser doesn't have the ball in it with the two thumb buttons on the side, scroll mouse. Dude, this thing rock sores my sock sores. And I tried this plugged into both the PS2 port and the USB port, thinking that maybe one or the other didn't like the port combination I was using, and it doesn't matter either way. It still acts the same way. So it's not, you know, I used the adapters and tried different things, and it still had the same problems. So it doesn't matter if you use a Microsoft mouse, or at least not this particular one. Maybe if you use the plain vanilla white mouse with two buttons from 1980-something with Windows 3.1. Maybe if you go back and use one of those old Microsoft mouses. But now they're telling you to use old equipment to work with their... that's crazy. Anyway, I still think my strongest... That should say my strongest hunch is I think that the way Linux handles hardware... Because my problem... I don't have any problem switching from Windows boxes. Well, I've only got... Actually, I only have the one Windows box on this Switch. I have three Linux boxes on the others. But... I don't have any problem switching to the Windows box, but the way Linux handles hardware, the way I understand most hardware, is it has to keep a consistent, constant communication with it. And because the KVM switch out of the box, and this is, again, something maybe I probably don't like about Belkin, is it did not come with the adapter built in. It does not come with the adapter in the box, I should say, not built in. It doesn't come with it in the box. It's a standalone. Which I guess would be fine, but I suspect that if I put a sustained power supply, and plug this thing into an outlet where I have constant power to it when I switch over to the Linux boxes, I think it will react a little bit better. At least that's my best idea that I think is going to solve the problem, and that's the way I'm going. However, I just haven't had time to go get... I don't want to buy... You can buy it from Belkin. They make a converter. How convenient, right? Isn't that nice of them to offer the exact converter that you need for this particular device sold separately? That's a load of crap, if you ask me. But I'm not going to buy that anyway. What I'm trying to do is get down to Rat Shack and by Universal. And they have a really nice universal system now with a interchangeable head. You can buy different connectors to plug onto these things now. You still have to buy the right one that's going to support the voltage and blah, blah, blah. But I'm waiting to get that. I just haven't been able to, again, with all the chaos that's been going on here. So that's, I think, what's going to solve my problem. Go get a universal adapter, and if that works, I will come on the show and let everybody know that was the problem. Other than that, I can tinker with some of the settings. Somebody sent me an email of some they having a similar problem, and they just made it some changes to the mouse. But it sounded like I might be crippling some of the features on the mouse. If I lose a couple of my buttons, my thumb buttons for front and back, or whatever you program them to, that I should say, I'm losing two of my five buttons on the mouse. So the solution of crippling it is not really, I don't like that idea either, you know? Why should I have to lose functionality because one piece of Belkin hardware sucks?
Get what you pay for.
Yeah, half price, half the functionality. I guess that should be... That's Belkin's new motto. I hereby decree that. Belkin, half the price, half the functionality. Oh, that's wrong. I'm going to get sued. Let's see. I have another email here from, and this is quite a long one, and it had a lot of, I won't say strange things, but stuff I'd never heard before. And this is from Lesser of Two Evils. Oh, and he says, well, like the guy whose email you read in Ep 60, I've also ravaged through all of your past episodes, learning so much. I love it. Your show is really great. The swear to a minimum rule is great. Too often these interweb shows. I love it when people say interweb. It makes me laugh.
Global interweb.
I'm sure he meant global. Well, I mean, he could be referring to any interweb shows. He could be referring to the local interweb.
Yep.
Interweb shows cater to those who want to show off their extensive Nether English abilities.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
God. You know what? You know, we try to, but let's be honest. I am probably just as bad as everyone else sometimes. And yeah, thank you, Lucky, for throwing that in there. I appreciate that. With each day of mundane work in the financial sector, I look forward to the next installment of BenRev Radio, which, as far as I'm concerned, blows 2600s off the hook straight out of the water. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been living in New York City for 3.5 years now, though I've grown up in Havoc's backyard, Poland. Hey, that's your boy Havoc.
Yep.
Shouts to him while we got an opening there. I work in the financial sector, specifically asset-backed securities oversight. It's all right, but I find the mathematics of it much more interesting than the broad concept. Although, I'll give you a quick example for knowledge. Okay, so Billy Idol has securitized most of his songs. Now, we all know that each time a Billy Idol song is played on the radio, some cash goes over to his pocket and other corporate pockets. You know, he gets royalties, we know that, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, each time it is played on any station, a piece of the money also goes to fund a security, a financial asset, that is, as interest, much like the interest you pay on a mortgage. This security is held in pieces by various institutions all over the world who bought their pieces several years ago and are getting in on Billy Idol's success. Wow, I don't know that I'd ever use the phrase Billy Idol and success all in the same sentence, but that's neither here nor there. This works similarly to a regular U.S. Treasury bond, except that whereas a U.S. Treasury is backed only by the U.S. government's ability to pay the interest to the holders of the bond, Idol's asset-backed security, or ABS, is backed by real cash flow coming from royalties and residuals on the songs played on the radio. So the holder of this ABS, again, asset-backed security, the investors are guaranteed to be paid so long as the songs are played on the radio, of course. So then ABS deals with issuing these securities backed by any asset that generates interest cash flow, i.e. mortgages, student loans, equipment, computer, aircraft leases, etc. Mortgages are the most popular, and these are called MBS. I work in the oversight of these securities, so it's a loan-level verification of data, integration into databases, reporting, and structuring of possible new securities. I had no idea such a thing existed. Did you?
Oh, my God, dude. That's awesome.
I had no clue that you could actually somehow buy stocks and buy shares in Billy Idol. Is that it's kind of like what it sounds like. I had no idea that that was even possible.
Yeah. Man, if I had that, I would be calling up every radio station, and I'd just be war dialing them fucking over and over and over and just requesting that song.
Play Billy Idol! Play Billy Idol! Play it again! I'm going to buy asset-backed securities in Lucky 225 myself.
They're like, yo, this is Power 106. We don't play no Billy Idol.
Yo, man, who's Billy Idol? We don't know no Billy Idol. Is he
right.
New edition?
We talking about American Idol?
No, American Idol, you're wrong. Oh, okay, anyway, back to this email. He says, so anyway, that's the financial lesson for today. Sorry if I bored you. No, I absolutely didn't, actually. I had no clue that such a thing existed. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. By the way, how funny is it that every sector is permeated with all these TLAs, three-letter acronyms? Love that kind of recursive humor. Oh, we always love recursive humor on the show. Okay, so on to hacking. Certainly agree with you about being pissed off at these script kiddies boasting about DDoSing Republican National Convention in the name of hackers. It's effin' baloney. See my little creative editing there?
Yeah.
It's effin' baloney. Hacking to me is attaining a certain level of knowledge and the ability to use this knowledge to go beyond the status quo while not pervading the same amendment rights, and this is what Knot Theory was saying, while not pervading the same amendment rights of others which a hacker holds as his or her own. Come on, every little five-year-old can run a DOS, and this is hacking? Heck no. That's more like plagiarizing someone else's exploit. Anyway, I took your advice and I've been reading John Erickson's Hacking the Art of Exploitation. Great read. And yes, that is a great book. I'm not done with it myself, but that is a really, really good book that I can't recommend anymore. If you haven't already read it, go to the bookstore and pick up Douglas Hofstadter's, I hope I'm pronouncing that, H-O-F-S-T-A-D-T-E-R, Douglas Hofstadter's Gödel, Escher, Bach, and Eternal Golden Braid. Easily one of the best books I've ever read, if a bit mathematical. Love it, though. I'm also kind of a math nut, too. I'm a math science geek. I've always been into that kind of stuff, so I find all kinds of, all branches of math very interesting, so I might check that out. Anyway, in regards to your last episode 60, the PBX dialogue with Knot Theory, multi-props to him, I want to set something up at our office. We have a small team, only 5 people, but with these ancient AT&T BIS-22 phones, we can't have voicemail for some reason. So setting up a PBX would be great. I have notes on your show, so I'll go and learn more about Asterisk, but I'm somewhat of a novice with Linux. Tried to run SUSE 9 last year, but in trying to set up a server, I was left downloading libraries for a week, and with each one I download and install, I had to get 3 more, and finally just gave up. What Linux distro would you recommend? Slackware 10, maybe? SUSE 9.1 Pro? Thanks for your amazing insight, and keep up the great work with BinRev. I most certainly have to get 2.1 and 2.2 when it comes out. I've been pimping your show out to my best buds in the UK, Spain, Germany, and Australia, and they're all hooked. By the way, you probably know it, but for some mad funny, where did I get ass from? See, that's terrible. See, that is so wrong of me. Dude, I have a problem, man.
You have a problem.
I have a problem. I need to go to, like, Cussing Anonymous or something. But for some mad funny vids about hacking and the like, check out thebroken.org. Go Ramsey. Best wishes to you and your crew, lesser of two evils.
Yeah, and also check out DougTV.org.
Yeah. DougTV.org for some mad ass funny videos. I don't know where I said ass. I don't know where ass came from. It wasn't in his email. It just, for some reason, I said, I have issues, man. I really have some issues. Anyway, yeah, that was a whole lot of stuff to digest. That was an incredibly long email with lots of good information, not boring at all. I thought that was really good stuff. But, Lucky, maybe you can just, not a whole lot of detail he's not asking, but, we talked about PBX on the last episode.
Yeah.
And this guy's saying he's basically got an office with 5 people. Would you recommend? I mean, seems to me like Asterisk is a perfect fit for him. Am I right?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. He says he's kind of a noob to Linux. If he just wants to set up a PBX, I mean, he could get some Panasonic PBX off eBay for a couple $100. That'll fit about 5 phones. And you could have voicemail on it, too, I think.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good point. There are other pay options, but, you know, I guess the whole idea of it being free, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, if he just wants to set up Asterisk, then, I mean, go ahead, you know? If you got the ability to do so. I'm kind of a noob to it, too. I don't got any Asterisk running in my house.
Yeah, and the other thing he mentioned was, you know, he didn't say he was a noob to Linux. Let's be careful there.
He said he was a novice.
Okay, a novice. That's a polite way of saying noob. And I can tell you this, not that I'm a Linux expert by any means either. Absolutely not. But I can tell you that downloading packages, that comes with the territory. That's just going to happen. That's part of the whole thing. It's constantly updated. The whole, you know, the whole kernel, all the apps, all the different libraries, they're constantly updating and changing. So every time you download something new, any libraries that it's dependent on, you therefore have to get the new versions of them. And if they're dependent on another library, you have to get the new versions of them. That's just the nature and the architecture of Linux. So that's something you're going to have to deal with. The only advice I can give you is to go out. Like, one of my favorite sites is LinuxISO.org. Go to LinuxISO, or there's several DistroWatch is another one. Go to DistroWatch, any of these, and see what the latest releases are from the different big distributors. Get the latest distro, because usually they're already pre-bundled. They give you all of the latest versions that they can get their hands of as of time they go to print. When they go to press, everything on that disk should be able to have all the prerequisites on that disk, and it'll be self-sustaining. And only if you try to update something on top of it will you then start running into a situation where you might need to download new packages and update them. But your best bet is to go get the absolute latest distro of whatever it happens to be. I do like SUSE. You may have had bad luck with SUSE 9. Try to stick with SUSE if you can. See if there's a new one out as of re-record. I don't know offhand if there's a new one out. I got Slackware 10 recently. I don't think I've heard that it's been getting better, but that's really considered more like an expert's distro, if you will. The tweaking, it's very stable, but there's a lot of tweaking and a lot of work you have to do with it. So I don't know if you want to get into that or not. I would say Debian, SUSE, I still am very high on. I don't know if I'd recommend Fedora. It's probably easy to set up and get running, but I'm not sure if I'd go so far as to. You can try it. And this is one of the most commonly asked questions of which distro do I use? Which distro is the best? It's all a matter of personal taste. So all I can say is to save you some problems or save you some trouble with downloading an updated package, just get a very recent distro, whatever it is. So if you want to try, say, Mandrake, for example, and go out there, keep an eye on it, and if there's going to be one rumored to be coming out in the next month or so, just wait on it, grab it as soon as it comes out and give it a shot. Or if there's one that just came out in the past month or so, grab that and go for it and see what you can do, see if you like that. I mean, the worst you can do is burn it to a CD, you don't like it, you throw it away. You give it to someone, take it to your local Linux users group or 2600 meeting and give it to someone else to try, they might like it. So try them, the worst it's going to cost you is burning an extra CD or two. So, yeah, that's my recommendation as far as the package updating. But again, as time goes on and you download new packages, they're going to have dependencies, and those dependencies have been updated, you'll have to download those. That's just part of the game, and that's just part of the fun of Linux. Welcome to the world of Linux. As far as the broken, yeah, no.
Like I said, go to DuckTV.org.
Yeah, been there, done that. Yeah, that's all I have to say about
that. If anything, download episode 2. I know we've been getting a lot of bad reviews on episode 2, but just download it and watch the intro to episode 2.
Great. Oh, anyway. So, yeah, thank you very much for the email. Thank you for listening and spreading the word all over the world, Spain, UK, Germany, Australia. Thanks for spreading the word. We do, unfortunately, we have to start charging for overseas shipping with this issue. I was just eating way too much of the cost for overseas shipping. So we're charging whatever it costs. We're not making, you know, whatever it ends up costing to ship it out, we have to charge for overseas. But I'm gladly we'll ship them anywhere. You know, you want to pay the extra shipping over there, it's a few bucks here, sometimes $7 or $8
to get the
information. Yeah, free the information.
Give me
Yeah. Your boy. Your homeboy. Anyway, thank you again for spreading it, and yeah, I'll ship it wherever. You send me a few extra bucks for the overseas shipping, and that's pretty much all there is to that. So now let me go in. Let me check time here. We're about halfway through here. A lot of good, only a couple of emails, but some really good information in them. And let's kind of go into the personal section, the show and tell portion of the show, if you will. I guess I'll go ahead and start because I want to thank, first of all, I should start off with a sincere thank you. I had a lot of people emailed me asking about me, sending thoughts and prayers. I really appreciated that. We had, for those of you who have not been following the show or following the forums or anything like that, I basically signed off on the forums because we had Hurricane Francis bearing down on us. I live in South Florida, and most of the regular listeners know that. Live in South Florida, and this thing was basically bearing right down on me as a Category 4, almost a Category 5. They said it was going to be a 5 when it hit. So a very big hurricane, and it was going to hit. The actual strike point was only about 100 miles north of me. So very, very close. Luckily or unluckily, what happened is it got just offshore, and it just started slowing down and slowing down, got caught up by the wind, it crossed over the Bahamas, and it basically sat just offshore. We were getting the outer bands, they call them feeder bands, off of it, and it sat just offshore and started spinning in place like a top. It was moving 0 miles per hour, just sitting in open water, just spinning. And we kept getting these feeder bands off of it for a couple of days, just storm after storm for about an hour or so. Then we'd have some where it would lighten up and the skies would be fine again. Then we'd get another band of storms. As it spun, the storms would kind of go flying off. Think of it like if you spin something around and stuff flies off of it. It's basically what it was doing for about 48 hours there. So we were getting these constant wind storms and rain and stuff like that that were, you know, basically like a really bad thunderstorm because it wasn't quite the hurricane itself. So I made it through all that fine, and this hurricane just kind of spun there, and then it slowly started moving on the shore again. And as it got here, obviously the winds picked up. It's about 100 miles north. It hit, by all that spinning, luckily for us, spun it down from a 4 or 5 to a 2 or 3. And it's officially hit as a 2, I think. But it was a 2, borderline 3 when it hit, I think, 105 to 115 miles an hour sustained winds. So as it moved on to shore, it was late Saturday night. Knocked my power out Saturday, and I've been completely off the grid until literally about when we started the show. I came in here, I got power back about an hour before we started the show, and still had no cable, no internet, and that just came up a few minutes before we started recording. So this is a last minute, very lucky that we're able to get on, and hopefully my power and internet will stay up long enough to stream this Tuesday. But basically, that's what happened. So as this thing slowly moved on to shore, it was about a Category 2, hitting about 100 miles north, which means, as far as what I'm concerned, we were getting Category 1 type winds where I'm at, being about 100 miles south. Because the storm, not only was it strong, but the bigger thing was it had a huge diameter. The diameter of this thing was enormous. The entire east coast of Florida was on alert, was on hurricane warning because of this. So it was very widespread. So even though it was a 2, it was very widespread, and we were getting Hurricane 1 winds, which were upwards of 100 miles an hour, in the worst part of it anyway. So we have been going through that for a couple days. I was actually watching out my back door, watching the trees get pulled out of the ground and watching them running to the power lines and stuff. Did some videotaping. I don't know if I got some of it or any of it on the camera or not, but I'll put some footage up and some pictures up when I can. Some enormous trees. You wouldn't believe they could have even ever come out of the ground. That are just, they just got owned. They just got owned by Hurricane Francis. Hardcore ownage. And I even climbed on a couple of.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, show the scale of how big these things were. Some houses that they landed on. Luckily, I boarded up my windows. Luckily, nothing hit mine directly. Neighbor's car, tree landed on their car right in across my parking lot. And a couple buildings down from me, one hit the building. Luckily, they had boarded up. If they had not, it would have been right through their window in their living room. It was pretty rough. I mean, it was only a 2, but I tell you what, it was a hardcore 2. So, honestly, I didn't think we were going to get a show out. I really did not. I absolutely, Lucky and I were talking on the phone, just catching up, because the other thing that I knocked out was I had no power. First of all, I'm not real dependent on power. I actually relaxed, sitting. I know this sounds like borderline, well, anyway. I was sitting there reading a book, reading by candlelight, which I have an announcement at the end of the show, remind me about a book. Sitting there reading by candlelight, I had no power or anything. I had some flashlights, had my scanner handy, battery-powered operator. So, you know, I'm not dependent on power, television, or that kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool to have that independence. And that's, again, a hacker trait, you know. We don't need all these modern conveniences. Hacking is not about on the computer. And when you unplug the computer and you're not a hacker anymore, guess what? Yes, you are. So that was kind of a cool aspect of it. But the other thing it knocked out also, and Lucky, hold on to your seat here. I don't want to scare you with this. But I lost my cell phone capabilities, too. No! Actually, the only thing I can think is it must have knocked down the local tower. Because I was getting one tiny little bar. I'm thinking it couldn't find the local tower, and it was stretching, trying to reach a bar, trying to reach a tower further north or south.
It was reaching a tower out in Cuba.
Yeah, it might have been. Who knows? It was stretching. I know that. Even when it would occasionally connect, so I wasn't able to get calls from anyone. Occasionally I would get a thing that says someone left a message, but I couldn't connect to voicemail to get it. So it was very frustrating. And the other thing, and Lucky, I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but I'm thinking out loud here. I don't understand what it is scientifically. I don't understand what causes a cell phone, the battery, to run down so fast when it's searching for a signal. I mean, that's one of the most, the thing that sucks the battery down the most is the LCD, the screen itself, and I understand that, and the searching for a signal. When you're out of range or something and it's working extra hard to find that signal, and I don't understand why that, on a hardware level, why is that more intensive or drain the battery faster?
Because it's constantly trying to send a signal to nearby towers and get a reply from it. Well, and it's using all its transmit power to try and connect to the other towers around you that are further away.
Is that any more? I mean, isn't it doing that again? I don't know this. That's why I'm asking you. Is that any worse than simply being, you know, walking around anyway? Isn't it always communicating with the towers?
Well, no, because it already has the connection to the tower once it powers up and it finds the tower and it's right there. And so it can drop its signal strength, you know, down to just, you know, minimal, very minimal. Whereas when there's no towers around, it has to struggle harder to find one, you know. It's got to put up the maximum signal strength to transmit out and try and get a reply back from a tower.
Hmm.
And basically, because, you know, it's usually normally just going to be some local tower around you. But now it's struggling to find another tower so that you can still have service.
Yeah. So even though I couldn't get a signal to talk to anybody, the other thing is the battery was constantly dead because it's constantly searching for that signal. So it's like the double whammy. Like every once in a while, I go out. I had no power in the house, so I go out to my car and charge it off the car charger. But it was worthless because I still didn't have any signal. I'd bring it back in, and it would die searching for a signal again. So I was just like, I was unreachable. So, you know, again, thank you to a lot of people who had left me messages checking up on me, yourself included, and I appreciate that everybody was actually thinking and wondering about me. I just got back online. I got some emails from people as well, so I do appreciate people that were worried about me. I made it. I made it through just in time, I guess, apparently for Hurricane Ivan, which is supposed to be bearing down on me as we speak. So this is a rough year for hurricanes for Florida. We had Charlie a couple weeks ago. Now we had Francis, which just left. And now I've got Ivan, which is supposed to be the fastest moving hurricane of I don't know how long, bearing right down on us. And it's also aiming right for me. I swear, it's like I have a magnet. I don't know if they're, you know what? It's a government conspiracy. They're trying to shut me down. They're trying to keep Binary Revolution Radio from coming to you, the listener.
Hey, the government can control the weather.
Oh, no. Oh, I did not just go here, did I?
Oh, I'm just letting everyone know.
Yep. Okay. Sure they can, Lucky.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. That's, you know, I'm not going to go into it any more This is not a show about hurricanes or anything like that. It's a show about technology. My tie-in with the hurricane to technology, though, is I had my scanner available. I was able to listen in to the National Weather Service, to the police radio emergency band, yada, yada, yada. So there's, you don't need television. You don't need cable. I've said how many times. I've got 10 channels. I don't have fancy. I don't have all the cable and stuff. I don't watch TV very much. Don't be dependent on that kind of stuff. Know that there are alternatives out there. I tried to get on a CB, but nobody was answering on the CB. I guess all the truckers were probably not driving through the hurricane. That's pretty smart of them. I couldn't get anybody on the CB. No hams. Everything was taken down. So that's the connection. So, Lucky, what have you been working on the past... well, let's see. When's the last time you were on the show, actually?
Hold on 1 second, actually.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It doesn't even count. It doesn't even count anyway because that was pre-DDP.
Hurricane in the area you are calling. Your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try your call later.
1132.
What was that?
Oh, I was just trying to call your cell phone.
Did you really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's getting what I say.
That's actually a test number. 1010-288-1909-959-6903.
All right. This is your show and tell portion of the show. What is that exactly?
That is just a, AT&T keeps all their test numbers on 959. And, to reach it, you got to dial 1010-288, or if you have AT&T long distance, you can just dial 1-909-959-6903. And, just a little trick, AT&T, they keep all their test numbers on their, number 4 ESSs in the 959-69XX range.
Hmm.
You know what? I hate to do this to you, but since we're recording...
Yeah?
Even another call right now. Hold on, okay?
Okay, well, I'll fill while you go over to the other call.
Alright.
It must be painful to be so popular to be the infamous Lucky 225. Taking calls. Yo.
Well, I don't know. I didn't, go over to them for some reason. Well, whatever.
Well, how about you ignore them and let's continue doing the radio show that we're in the middle of.
Okay.
What else is going on with Lucky 225 these days?
Well, as you know, we have officially stopped streaming on Rant Radio. We won't be doing our default radio weekly anymore. We just we don't have time for it, frankly, and we're into other things right now. We're doing Doug TV, you know, and other projects that we're working on. And
not to be released to the public yet. Other projects not to be announced yet. Is that?
Yeah, nothing to be announced just quite yet, but
okay.
We're working on a couple things.
All right, very cool. So when you say you're not streaming weekly, are you still going to keep doing default radio?
Yes, we plan on doing default radio, and basically we don't have content for default radio. And, you know, we used to be putting them out once a week. And it was, you know, it was an awesome radio show, and we had content every week. And, well, you know, we don't have a steady stream of content. You know, it's the summer, and everyone's relaxing, and now it's coming up with Christmas and everything. You know, just no new technologies coming out, nothing to talk about. No one getting busted except for Hairball, but,
Oh, no, we did not go there.
Yeah, well...
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to touch that topic either. I have nothing to say about that.
Well, anyways, I'm just, you know, we just don't have any content right now, and we'd like to save our show with being able to put out good content when it comes out. So, you know, it might not be once a week or once every 2 weeks, but we'll try and do it maybe once a month at least, and, you know,
and when we put it out,
it's gonna be a good show. That's what we want to promise you.
Yeah, and it'll, of course, you know, undoubtedly, we'll put it on DDP Hack Radio. That's not a problem. Definitely have a place to stream it whenever you want to. And, of course, put it up for download, MP3 or whatever, AUG, MP3, whatever format you guys are going to put it up on the site, defaultradio.com.
Yep.
So that's cool. So,
We got our own projects in DDP that are all top secretive that I just can't announce.
You fell in love with the members only forum, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good stuff going on in there, but...
A lot lot of good stuff in there, and OmniMax is never going to see any of it. It's not free.
It's not free. Well, actually, it's free.
Well, yeah.
We don't have dues in DDP. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we do. I haven't gotten your check yet, by the way. I need a monthly payment of $29.95 from you. I'll take your credit card number right now on the air if you want.
That's quite fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll, again, definitely have default on Hack Radio and get that up soon. And you know what? I foresee some changes to Binary Revolution Radio in the near future as well. There's some changes going on that I'm just not too, I just don't agree with some things that are happening and the status quo and the direction that certain things are going. So I foresee where everything's going normally for now, but at some point in the future, don't be surprised if we make some announcements as far as format changes for Binary Revolution Radio as well.
All right. Awesome.
All right. So now I have to apologize. The hurricane kind of crippled me this week as far as, you know, you said content as well, although I think we've already talked about some really good stuff. But I saved this just for you. This is a very, very, very short blurb. This is out of the current Popular Science magazine, one of my favorite reads. Every time I get this, it's a great read. And this particular issue, the overall theme to the issue is Cars of the Future. Yeah, and it went into some great, some really interesting stuff about hydrogen cell research, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, really?
But the thing that caught my attention was just a little two- or three-sentence blurb that was talking about some of the technology, some of the changes that are going on, and some of the things that are happening right now. I mean, this is happening right now. And the one that caught my eye, because I wanted to see your reaction to this, and we'll kind of just wing our reaction because I haven't really spoken about this or thought about it a whole lot, so this is very impromptu here. But it's a little blurb and a little section about other things going on right now with automobile technology. And the title of this is Spied On by Acme. Rental companies are using telematics to enforce their contracts. A jury recently ruled in favor of Acme Rent-A-Car, which used GPS data to ding a renter $450 for speeding, though he had not been stopped by police. Now that's it. That's all that what this blurb was. But to me, there's so much more to that is not covered by a couple sentences in this. And I wanted to talk about this with you. And one of the first things is, let me clarify, people who haven't rented a car are not quite clear what this means. When you rent a car, you sign a contract with that car rental company that says you can't do certain things with it. You know, like was it Jackass the movie or Jackass TV show or something? Or
Yeah.
One of those things
where
they rented the car and put it in the crash up derby or something.
Yeah, they took the car to the crash up derby. They spray painted a 3 on the side of the door.
Exactly.
And they came back and
see, that's why they have contracts on these things. There's certain things you can't do, and if you do them, you will be held liable for them. You will pay for them. Well, apparently one of these things is no speeding, because obviously when you speed, I guess statistics are that you get more chance of being in an accident, damage to the car, et cetera, and they put that in the contract that you are to drive the speed limit. Well, that's all fine and good. You know, I don't really know what to say. I don't have a problem with that exactly.
But if you know it up front.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, here's my problem with this. I don't know exactly what the contract says, but I know when you rent a U-Haul, at least, you're not allowed to go over 55 miles an hour on any street. And that's what it says in U-Haul's contract.
Well, good grief. What if you're up on I-95 where it's 65 miles an hour?
You're supposed to keep it at 55 miles an hour because that's as fast as the truck can go, and you're supposed to stay in the truck lane because you're hauling, you're moving stuff, you know? That's why they want you to keep it at 55 miles an hour.
Yikes.
I would suspect it would be the same thing for a rental car. They probably say you can't drive any faster than 70 miles an hour.
Certainly. I understand that.
You know, something like that. Now, the only problem with that is, that I have with it at least, is one, they're relying on data from GPS, which historically the way it calculates speed from the ground to the satellite.
Or GPS, of course, being
your motion of travel and time is not completely accurate. I mean, when I worked out at my private investigators, we had GPS in all of the cars that our investigators had, and we'd be looking at it to make sure they weren't late to the site that they went out to or whatever, and it would show them driving 350 miles an hour. Now, it's physically impossible for them to be driving at that speed, but that's what it would say.
Right, well, so there's the logic. Now, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I wanted to just clarify to people who didn't know, GPS, of course, Global Positioning System, which is communicating with a satellite in space to determine where the person's at. And the act of timing them from point A to point B every so often, pinging to see their position, you can estimate how much space they've traveled and the times and estimate what speed they're traveling to get there. So that's how they're coming up with this. So again, like Lucky said, it's not exactly, from a technical standpoint, it's not very reliable data.
Yeah, it's not very reliable data at all. And secondly, even if the person was speeding, I mean, was it safe to do so at the time? And what was their reason for speeding? I mean, if you got some lady in the car who's pregnant and you're trying to get her to the hospital as fast as you can, you know, or you got some other emergency that came up, and now you're getting dinged because of an emergency.
Right.
You know, right. I think the rental company should just fuck off as long as the car is intact when they bring it back and it's got a half a tank of gas. They should just be like, whatever. Let the police enforce, you know, speeding violations. That's what they're there for.
Right. That's their job. I mean, this is very Big Brother to me. What gives them the right to spy on me? You know, because like a contract? I don't know if there's.
Yeah, you know, I don't like that they're looking where my rental car was.
I mean, I guess when you sign a contract, you're agreeing to that, I guess. Okay,
yeah.
So I guess on one hand, I can't complain and can't, you know, argue anything because it's in the contract, which either A, I didn't read and sign blindly, which case, You deserve it, or B, you read it, understood it, and agreed to them, and you're also tough luck.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess
it goes back to the whole monopoly thing that we were discussing, where you don't have any other alternatives.
Well, and that's just the thing. This is probably my biggest message in this is the name of the company is Acme, A-C-M-E, Acme, like Wile E. Coyote Acme. Acme Rent-A-Car. And my message in this is never, ever use Acme Rent-A-Car. Their contracts give them the right to spy on you and watch where you're going. And if they're watching for something like speeding, what else are they watching for? It's probably, or possibly, I won't say probably, it's possibly in the contract. Now, see, I want to see a contract now. I'm tempted to find one so I can read a contract.
Yeah.
What's to stop them from keeping all this data in a data warehouse of some kind that they can look it up later and find out, oh, well, you've been dinged for speeding three times in the past, you have a history, and report you as a bad driving record, have your insurance jacked up. Maybe they'll work out something with the insurance companies and spread this information around.
Yeah,
what laws exist to maintain my privacy so that this information doesn't get out? Obviously, this one went to court, and it was upheld, so it was released somewhere. You know, hopefully
very scary thought too, Stink. You know, and not only that, they probably will think of ways to use it as marketing. Oh, well, he was in our rental car. Let's see, he went into the Ralph's parking lot. He went over here. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a right to privacy, and this invades on it. Whether I signed a contract or not, I don't like it. So, you signed a contract, you're stuck with it. The answer, the obvious solution, don't sign the contract. There are lots of car rental places. There are many, many car rental places. Find one that does not have this restriction in it. Hopefully this is not something that they're all doing now. I don't rent cars frequently.
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, this sounds very probable. I know Hertz uses GPS.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure the other ones do, too. Like Dollar Rent-A-Car, they probably do, too.
There's another random touch tone there, by the way.
Well, yeah, it's probably my VoIP equipment. But, Yeah, and that's kind of scary. And I mean, yeah, I guess the point of it is read what you sign. I mean, with AT&T Wireless, for instance, and their contract, they can collect your location information and share it with third parties, just where you are on your cell phone. And of course, they also are reserving their right to publish your phone number if they feel like it. In order to restrict that right, you have to send them a letter.
Yeah, and see, this is the thing. I mean, this is important to read contracts, and I know a lot of people blindly sign stuff, and it's just not a good habit to get into, because you're waiving away your rights, and you should not have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I question, first of all, again, the answer is don't go to this company, don't support them. Go to one of the other ones that does not offer it. Those companies will thrive, and the ones who are trying to take away your rights will die. That's the ideal solution, naive though it may be, unfortunately, because most people don't care. Most people gladly waive away their rights, but we won't go into that. I'm really kind of surprised that they can legally... There are certain rights that you cannot waive. I've taken some law classes. I've taken quite a few law classes, actually, and one of the things that you can't waive is your right to sue. You are entitled, you have a right to sue somebody, and you can never be forced to waive that right.
Yeah, they do try to put that waiver in AT&T's contract, actually.
Oh, they can try, and they may be able to limit it, but what those things end up doing is they try to force you to go to a mediator before you lost, to keep you from suing them, to force you to work with a mediator, but you can never completely waive your right to sue. You always have a right to sue. It's something that you have a right to, because later on, if they don't live up to their end of it, or something extra happens that's above and beyond that you didn't expect or was unreasonable or something, you can always still sue them. You have the right to sue them. Now, you may lose in court because of the contract you signed. Don't get me wrong. You did sign a contract saying whatever you're limited to, but you have the right to sue them and take them to court. You always have that right. Now, you may get there, the judge may say, listen, you signed a contract, you're SOL, buddy, sorry about your luck, you lose. But you do have the right to actually go through with the lawsuit. That's something you can't waive. And to me, you know, there are some other ones that I would think would be similar to that. Freedom of speech, freedom, you know, your right to privacy. Your right to privacy seems like one of those things that you shouldn't be able to waive.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm wrong. I guess you can, because a court upheld this. A jury recently ruled in favor of the rent-a-car company. So it was a jury trial. So a jury found that. But and this again, this just happened. So this is something fairly new, and I hope it does not start a trend. I hope this is, you know, a wake-up call to tell people to don't give up your rights so easily. It's a rental car, for God's sake. Go to a different company.
And even if you read the contract and you think you fully understand it, and you're ready to sign, just write by your signature, put in all caps, all rights reserved. I do it every time. No one ever questions it.
What is that for? What does that do?
That's just an assertion of reservation of rights. It says, I agree to the contract and the terms of service, but I am reserving all my rights. I'm not waiving any rights that this contract says that they're going to waive.
Interesting. Have you gotten any good reactions from putting that on? Has anybody ever given you a hard time for doing that?
Well, actually, I got pulled over for a speeding ticket once. And on our citations, at least here in California, it says, I promise to appear in court. And, The problem with that is the California Vehicle Code allows you to do everything by mail, by trial, by written declaration. You never have to appear in court at all. So I didn't want that to be when I signed the citation, I did not want it to be construed as I was actually going to appear in court. So I signed it, and I wrote all rights reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop gave me hell over it. He was like, you're defacing a court document. I should arrest you. I could bring you down to the station right now. I'm like, fine, bring me down to the station. You know, I'm not going to sign anything that says I promise to appear in court, because I don't promise to appear in court. You know?
Man, you lost that ticket too, didn't you?
Nope, I actually won that ticket.
Good job, good job. I am impressed.
I did a trial by written declaration. I had to send them bail, as they call it. It's just the fine.
What is this touchtone you keep throwing in here?
I don't know. I'm not pressing any touchtones.
I honestly, the hurricane must be doing it because it's still the phone lines still aren't working quite right. My ringers don't work.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. The touchtone interrupted you there.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, I reserved my right to do the trial by declaration by mail, and I basically downloaded the court documents online. I sent in everything by mail. I enclosed a money order for $190. And I basically got something back from the court. They said the officer did not reply to the trial by declaration, so I won by default, and they sent me back a check for $190.
Because everything, even speeding tickets, is always on default.
Yeah, right? Yeah, my speeding ticket was on default. There you go.
But see, that's the thing is, one of the things that people hope is that by going to court, they hope that the officer doesn't show up to defend it. Well, when you're doing it by mail, it seems like the guy's automatically going to defend it because it's that much easier. He can take his time. He can fill it out whenever.
He only has 1 week to send it back when the court sends him the notice, right?
Right.
And the problem is, the reason the officer always shows up in court is because he gets paid overtime to go down to court and show up.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
Yeah, he's glad to show up in court. Oh, yeah, I'll show up in court because he's getting paid overtime for it.
Not to mention, they put them all on the same day to make it nice and convenient for him. All the tickets he's given out for the month, they assign them to come down that same 1 or 2 days so that he can get them all done in one day and knock them out.
Yep, exactly. And so when you do a trial by declaration by mail, he doesn't get paid shit. He has to sit there, he has to write his testimony of what happened, he has to draw a picture of what happened, he has to staple evidence from his radar gun and everything, and that's another thing. In California, like, you have to submit proof. So if he doesn't submit proof on his attached copy, then I still win.
But of course, you still have to pay the court costs, which amounts... For me, that happened to me, and the court cost conveniently was the exact same dollar amount to the penny of the fine itself.
No, no. When you do it by trial by declaration, there are no court costs. You pay the fine.
Well, the fine...
They send you back a money for the fine.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. You had to pay money or not?
Okay. When I did the trial by declaration, I got a notice from the court saying that I had a speeding ticket.
Right.
And that I owed $190.
Right.
So I opted for the trial by written declaration. I enclosed a money order for $190. And then once everything was said and over, they sent me back a money order for the same amount.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
Yep. You don't have to pay anything.
I went the lawyer route. I got one of those ambulance-chasing lawyers to take care of mine for me, and what I got was, yes, they waived it, they wiped it off, it never happened, but the fees, of course there were fees to the lawyer, but the fee to the court cost was exactly the same amount as the ticket was anyway.
Yeah.
So isn't that convenient?
Well, I guess.
But it doesn't go on my record and no points against me and stuff, so.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is when you do it by written declaration. Another thing that's interesting about this, when you do trial by written declaration, if you lose, you are entitled to what's known as a trial de nouveau. And what that means is
a new trial.
Yep, new trial. So even if you lose the trial by written declaration, you now can say, okay, I want a new trial in court. So that's why you always do trial by written declaration first, because you just wait and see what the officer's response is, because most of the time they're just going to be lazy and you'll win the ticket. And if they're not lazy, well, guess what? Now they have to go to court. And the more you drag it on, the more you're costing the state of California money, you know, to
right.
see your trial. Then it's just they're gonna eventually drop it because they're paying more money than the ticket is worth, you know.
Right, exactly.
I wonder why you always fight the ticket. Always fight the ticket. Everyone just wants to submit and pay it and get it over with and get it on the record, but you just always fight it. Because there's always a good chance that you'll win. Because 90% of people that get tickets just pay the fine. They never even try to fight it.
Well, if I felt I was completely deserving of it, I would pay it. But I just, no.
Well, that's another thing, is this cop was just being a total dick.
Right, that's what's happened to me on mine. It's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
I got stuck behind like this 95-year-old guy who shouldn't even be in a car. And when I sped up to pass him, he wants to nail me with a speeding... No. I don't like that.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I didn't deserve this speeding ticket either because I was not speeding. The guy said he clocked me at 73 miles an hour. My ex-girlfriend was also driving in the car next to me, and she was pacing me at the same speed when the guy pulled me over. And she said she looked at the speedometer on her car, and it showed 50 miles an hour, which is exactly what I showed, too. So I was only going 50, and this cop is trying to tell me that he caught me going 73.
All right, well, we're not going to relive the court case here on the air.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up. I'm interested to know what other states have similar trial by mail or whatever the terminology is that we can follow up on. I wonder if Florida has it. I might have to check into it. But hopefully I won't ever have to need that, truthfully, so.
Yeah, well, me too. I hate dealing with these cops. They're idiots.
Exactly. All right, well, let's wrap it up here. We got a good full show, some interesting stuff. Not as much tech as we normally have, but hey, my tech has been down. I haven't had access. So let's close up. I got some shouts here. Actually, oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot. Let me do this quickly. I have a gift. I have a gift for the listeners, a giveaway, a prize, if you will, that this is a pre-release copy of a new book coming out. The book is called Terror Cell, TerrorCell, Terror Cell. The author's name is Eric Giles, G-I-L-E-S. And you can go to terrorcellbook.com and get a little preview of what it's about. Gentleman has been emailing me a couple times back and forth, sent me some proof copies to look into some things to help him out. Very good read so far. I'm a good ways into it. That's actually what I was reading during the hurricane somewhat. And he was nice enough to send me a couple copies, pre-released, complimentary, just for listeners. Not for me, but he sent these for listeners of Binary Revolution Radio. He sent these for you listeners. And I want to give one of these away today, and I'll give another one away coming up on another show. But this is a signed pre-release copy. And what I want to do here is, I mentioned before, I want some feedback on the magazine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this copy away. I will mail it out of my pocket, shipping and everything. I want people to send letters. Now, obviously, if you have feedback on the show, you can email us at radio@binrev.com. If you want to send articles, which, again, you have to the end of September, articles for the magazine, 2.2 of Binary Revolution Magazine, Omnimax, if you're listening, go ahead and send them to articles@binrev.com by the end of September, and we'll try to get them into 2.2. But I want feedback on the magazine, so I'm going to give this away to the listener who emails letters@binrev.com, L-E-T-T-E-R-S, letters@binrev.com. What that is, that's feedback specifically on the magazine. So, to be eligible for this, you need to have read the magazine, because I want specific feedback on what you thought of the magazine, what you liked. Maybe you can even single out articles, and I'm going to give this to the person who sends the best email, and I guess this is a judgment call, so sorry, but whoever sends the best email feedback to the magazine, you will get it printed in the upcoming issue of Binary Revolution Magazine. B, I will send you this. You send me your name and address. I will foot the shipping to get this to you and send it. And letters@binrev.com, feedback on the magazine only, not the radio show specifically. We always love to hear that as well. But letters@binrev.com, and I'll give it 2 weeks by episode 63. The best feedback by episode 63 on the magazine, and I will announce it on the air and send you your book, and then you will see it in print in issue 2.2. So, I almost forgot about that. I'm glad. And so, again, TerrorCellBook.com, the author Eric Giles, and the book is Terror Cell. Now, this is not a commercial or anything. I've been reading this and talking to the guy. Very genuine. It's a book about where the main character is a hacker. So it's very cool. It's not an evil hacker book. It's the hacker is the main character, which is really cool. And I've been working with him on some technical aspects and proofreading and stuff. So definitely go check this out. He also, I believe he mentioned to me that he has an article upcoming in Blacklisted 411 magazine, which I do as well. So we'll probably be in the upcoming Blacklisted, so you can check out both of our articles in that. Now, Lucky, we're going to wrap this up real quickly here. Shouts. Go ahead with any shouts you want to drop.
Well, before I give out my shouts, I was just going to say how great the magazine is in P.O. Box 1111, Guasti, California.
you are ineligible. DDP members are not eligible for the giveaway. Employees of Binary Revolution and DDP.
employees and agents of DDP and BinRev are not eligible.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well.
And I have someone at my door, so let's wrap this up. As a matter of fact, you do your shouts. I'll be right back.
Oh, my God.
How's that for bad radio?
Oh, my God. That's terrible, man. I give my shouts out to Knot Theory, of course. I give out my other shouts to Natus. He's my dog. And
all right. I'll second that.
And I got to give out my shouts to Kevin Polson. And now for the fuck yous. Fuck you, Jason Jepson from star38.com. Go
oh.
And my other fuck you is to OmniMax.
Oh,
doesn't realize how hard we try to put out information and make the community grow.
Oh, man. We try to keep the show positive. We don't usually give fuck yous on the show.
Yeah, well, those are the two fuck yous for the week.
Oh, from the controversial new member of DDP, Lucky225. Welcome to you anyway. Not me. I'm going to go back to the positivity and give some shouts to Bland, Inquisitor, and Dual Parallel. Again,
yes.
They also specifically wanted to say for me to send out thank yous for all the people who have sent feedback and been posting in the forums and thanking them for all their, you know, all the years and all the things that they put into the scene, and sincere thanks. And they wanted me to make sure I pointed out that they appreciated those words and that they appreciate the people that are saying good things and even bad things, I guess, about them. So they specifically said on our call the other day, on our meeting, that they wanted me to mention that. So they hope that you guys understand why and support them for stepping away. Hopefully they'll be back, but they want you to at least hopefully understand and accept it. And I do. I know I do. So if I can, I think the listeners can and should be able to. And our closing music this week is... Actually, this was suggested to me in IRC by WS Ninja last week. And it's from 8-Bits. And take a listen to this. And Lucky, A, welcome to DDP, and B, thank you for being on the show.
Welcome. Pleasure every time.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get this aired if the hurricane doesn't hit and take my power out again. But until then, we will see everyone next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace.
it ain't enough. I'm faking sick with my mom long enough to miss a bus. It's time for school, bitch, but I don't give a fuck. I'm eating gummas for breakfast and cannon for lunch. Mother brain for dinner. I do the same to my sister's daily routine. You know I'm making my business. Controller in hand, a true nest set up in this. Hold on, I'm gonna get a hit on my hand. I can't even fucking breathe up in this shit.